Well, good morning, Tabernacle. I want to welcome those who are part of our church in Manistee. We love you, and here in Buckley just as much. And I'm really glad that you're here because I needed a third crack at this message. You didn't think that was funny. Okay. You're going to get the final product one way or another, but I think I butchered it twice. We'll see if we can get it right the third time. You're here. That's all that matters. Don't tell the others, okay? Just explain it to them later. Before we get started, just a couple things. I want to announce that the wardrobe war between me and Tim is over, and I concede. I surrender. He has won. He is the winner. He is the victor. Hail to that victor, right? If you missed it a couple weeks ago, I wore a t-shirt. I was dressing downward to match my brother because I love him. And he trumped me last week with a rockin' black suit. He looked good. Did the man not look good? Tell him that. It makes him mad. It makes him so mad. Still had the work boots, but he was looking great. And then I was like, what can I do to one-up that? And the only thing I could find, it was in Isaiah chapter 20, where God instructed the prophet Isaiah to preach naked. Look it up, verses 2, 3, and 4. And he didn't tell me to do that, so you're welcome. You're welcome. Tim's the winner. I got nowhere else to go. Checkmate. So the second thing I want to tell you is starting next week, not this weekend, but next weekend, we will start a new series that will take us the better part of a year to get through. I'm just really excited about it. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to go to 1 Kings. You can already go back if you want on our website or wherever you listen to past messages and you see that we did 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Kings picks it up. It's going to be epic. All right, I'm already pretty deep into it. So those of you that love to read ahead, you can start doing that. Not right now, but maybe later. And those of you that don't, it might help you because it's a thick book, but it's all about Jesus. You're like, wait, 1 Kings, Old Testament. You'll see, all points to Jesus. This weekend, however, this Labor Day weekend, we're talking about vision. And the reason that it's important is because we're kind of kicking off the fall season just a bit. A lot of people get out of the hubbub of summer and they come back. And for all of us, you know, the challenge was from our leadership, John, we just might, you know, maybe need a little vision weekend, just a little, make sure we're all on the same course, the same direction. And the reason this is important is because vision or where we're going, what are we trying to do? Vision in a church leaks. It leaks. You know, you start out, you're going, you're just like, I love this place, this is what we're about, and this is great, and my life's changing, and which, by the way, that is the vision statement of our church. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to create? Change lives. Change lives. I don't change lives. Church doesn't change lives. Only Jesus can change a life, right? But he doesn't just change it once. As I'm following him, he continues to change my life. As I give him my yes, as I step out in faith, that's our vision, is change life. Our mission is related to it. And our mission comes from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You've heard this before. That we love God and love people, that's the Great Commandment, and that we make disciples. So really the vision and the mission of our church doesn't change. And that's not just the vision and our mission of the church, that should be all of our vision and mission individually. So you may not call this church your church home. I just ran into some people that they're not from here. They're just camping close by and they wanted to check out the tab. Cool. I'm still speaking to you, even if this isn't your church. If you're a Christian, the vision, the mission doesn't change. But here's the problem. The vision leaks. And so my challenge and what I want to take us to today is more like a subvision, a theme that I feel like God is telling me and is telling us to keep at the forefront as we go into this next year. Because we've got a lot going on, okay? We've got, you know, we're one church in two locations, and by God's grace, in about 6-7 months, we'll be one church in three locations in Cadillac. Which, by the way, we're already a church in more than two locations, wherever you are, because not everyone's from Buckley and not everyone's from Manistee, right? I mean, we have a whole contingent of Kingsley people, right? And Kingsley people don't leave Kingsley for nothing except away football games. That's about it. You know, they got that little cult of Kingsley, and some of them come here. So, yeah. If you have a Bible, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at the words of Jesus in the greatest sermon that's ever been given, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're not going to cover all the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon is an epic sermon. He covers a lot of different things. The Beatitudes, the blessed are you when, blessed are those that. He teaches us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount. He covers anger. He covers lust. He covers divorce. He covers a lot of different topics. But I just want to look at one little section, because when I started thinking about how vision leaks and how we forget what we're here to do, this is perfect to get us back on track. Now, while you're turning there, I got to pause just for a second. I'm not saying this is everyone. But maybe vision has leaked a bit for you. Maybe you have got off course. It's easy for any of us to do. An organization, a family, a marriage, an individual, a church. Just as an example, the YMCA, right? Great organization. I'm not bashing. I actually have a membership as we speak. It's a great place to work out wintertime. The YMCA, sorry, I'm talking about the place, not the song. Are you with me, Village People? Okay, yeah. Did you know, or do you know what the YMCA stands for? It's the Young Men's Christian Association. That's how it began. It began as a ministry to young men using sports. It's a sports ministry. We're going to use athletics, healthy living, in order to teach men, young men, about the gospel so we can propagate the gospel around the world. The YMCA today is about healthy living, it's about humanitarianism, and being a good person. Now, none of those things are bad. That's not me cracking the YMCA. But it has drifted away from its original stated mission. Are you tracking? Same thing with Harvard University. No matter what you think about Harvard University, it's one of the finest institutions in our nation for higher learning, right? Do you know it began? Its vision was a Bible verse from the New Testament. And it was about propagating the gospel and seeing the name of Jesus Christ expand around the world. Is that what Harvard's about today? Vision leaks, friends. And usually the reason it begins to leak in an organization, a Christian organization, or a church, or in an individual, it starts when Christ and the gospel is no longer the center. That's where it starts. And there's other things that can happen. There can be a crisis. There can be a conflict that kind of gets it off course. Or it can get off course because of consumerism, right? When a Christian organization start or a church starts getting bigger and bigger, what happens is special interest groups come in, and then they're about, well, I want this, well, I want that, well, I want a God who says this. I don't want a God that makes me feel bad. I want a God in my own image. You with me? But the biggest reason we get off mission, the reason that vision leaks, I think is fear. Fear. And we see it now with Christians, and we see it now with churches. I want a God who loves me, and I want a God of grace, and I need forgiveness, and I want eternal life and a relationship with him. But the world is saying this. Do you really believe all that? And I don't want to look stupid. So out of fear, I'll change what I believe about the Bible. Vision leaks. Or I become a church that says, no, we're going to leave out all the tough parts and just be happy, clappy people. That with a good idea for your life. Are you tracking with me? We don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. And so let's look at the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start just with a portion of his sermon in verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is God's word, and if you're listening, it speaks to every single one of us. Because every single person in Manistee, every single person here in Buckley, or anyone who's watching this or listening to this online, all of us carry a certain amount of anxieties. And he starts right at the beginning, do not be anxious about da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You fill in the blank. In the context, he's talking to a very poor culture, oppressed by the Romans, and he's saying, don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from, or what your drink, or about your body, the health stuff that you're going through, or what you will wear. Twice he says, do not be anxious. The word anxious or anxiety appears four or five times, where he says, who of you by your anxiety, by your worrying, is going to add a moment to your life? Now, essentially, this is what he's saying here. And for you and I, if I don't want to be off mission, if I don't want my vision to leak, he's telling us, don't be distracted by fear. Don't be distracted by all the things we have to worry about in 2023. And I know there's not that many. I'm kidding. There's a blue moon. There's wildfires. There's earthquakes. Where's Revelation at? Right? Politics, pandemic, we're gonna lock down again. This economy, do you know how much food costs? I had 9 people living in my house this summer. They're all home from college, I'm broke. And if I'm not being silly, people that we love, people a part of our congregation, staring cancer in the face. There's real anxieties, and there's weird ones, and everything in between. And here's Jesus, and he says, don't be anxious. That's easier said than done. Essentially, what he's saying is the most oft-repeated command in Scripture, which is fear not. He's saying, fear not. Well, Jesus, that's easy for you to say. You're God in flesh. You know the beginning from the end and everything in between. You're all powerful. You were crucified. You were dead. You came back to life. You ascended. You can like move through walls. Must be nice. But little old me is a little bit scared. Sorry, I forgot. You're not scared. You're a Northern Michigan man. If we're honest, we're all scared. And here Jesus is saying, fill in the blank of whatever is consuming your attention and your anxiety and your worry. And he's saying, fear not. Fear not. And I'll concede that that's easier said than done. So I started thinking about this week. God, why did you draw me to this verse to kind of make this passage kind of like our theme for the fall? We're going to study 1 Kings, but I want this to be our theme for me, for my family, for our church, for our congregation, for you. How do we fear not? Well, I started thinking about fear. And you know, I'm a history guy, and you know, I love reading biographies. I love reading stories of old conflicts. And if there's one continual thread, I always hear about the men and the women who've put their lives in harm's way for my sake and our country's sake, is they all say a similar thing. They say on the battlefield, when bullets are flying, everyone's scared. And anyone who says that they're not is either a liar or a lunatic. Of course you're scared. Well, how did the men storm D-Day Beach? How did the men drop out of airplanes and gliders and conquer Fortress Europe? How did that happen? If they were so afraid, they weren't ruled by fear. Yes, they were scared to death, but courage is when you go anyways, not knowing the future. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying don't experience the human emotion of fear, because we'll all experience the human emotion of fear. What's going to happen in this relationship? What's going to happen with my kids when they move on? What's going to happen with my finances? What's going to happen with this business deal? What's going to happen with my boss? What's going to happen with politics? We don't know. And there's all these unknowns, and here he's saying, fear not. Well, fear is natural. That's a God-given response. So he must mean don't be ruled by it. Make a choice. Make a move. Don't be immobile with all this uncertainty. Fear not. But then if you notice, he gives us something to replace it with. You're not sitting somewhere going, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to just sit here in my bunker with all of my, I'm going to survive Y2 or Y3K or whatever, whatever it is. No, he gives us something to replace the fear with. Look at verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Friends, this is a great subvision of change lives and loving God, loving people, make disciples. Whatever you're facing in the midst of it, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, we're great excuse makers. Well, I'm really busy. Well, you know, I've started a new job. Well, you know, I'm getting ready to move. Well, you know, I'm going through this thing with my family. Oh, I got this, you know, this medical thing, and you don't get it. I probably don't, but I know the words of Jesus, and they're more important than your words, my words, and our thoughts combined. And what he says is, fear not, and in whatever you're facing, listen to me, church, seek first the kingdom of God. Make him your top priority in every area of your life. With your time, with your money, with your resources, with your marriage, with your children, with your education, with your job, with your boss, with your hobbies. So my question would be this. What are you really seeking first right now? If we clocked your hours for the week, where is it spent? If we clocked your checkbook for a month, now wait, does anybody use checkbooks anymore? Just that little old lady at the grocery store takes 58 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. We still have checks too. Yeah, but if we clocked your resources, your attention, your free time, what are you seeking first? Whew, that gets me right here. What am I really seeking first? You see, he says, fear not, and instead, I want you to seek first. Make it the top priority. And those two words, seek first, I'd like in this next season to be our subvision. Because what seeking first does for the person that maybe is starting to get off course is it's a check. Whoa, whoa, wait, get back online. And for those that are already seeking first the kingdom of God, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I'm still doing it. Just keep doing it. And that's what we need. It's a formula, and I even hate saying the words, but since it was Jesus' sermon, I'm not going to criticize it. Fear not, seek first, and then he says, and all these things will be added to you. Did you catch that in verse 33? Make sure I got it right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Nailed it. That's a promise. And if God is God and God does not lie and Jesus is the Son of God, that's a promise. If you will not be ruled by fear, if you will make me the top priority, he's saying God will provide. God will provide. He doesn't promise perfect health. I can't do that. I wish I could. I'm not God. I can't do that. He doesn't promise you'll be wealthy. The prosperity gospel, we don't preach that garbage here. It's heresy. It'd be nice. Ooh, I could preach the paint off prosperity gospel. Yeah, I could promise you a bunch of lies and be driving a Range Rover right now. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. It's a lie. But Jesus did make a promise. If you'll seek me first and my kingdom, if you'll make me your top priority, I'll provide for you your needs, what you need in every area of your life. Is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to make the cancer go away? Maybe, maybe not. But you're not going to go hungry. So let's break this down into all the things that we worry about. Let's start with relationships. What would happen if in this next season, in every relationship, let's start with the ones closest to you, you were to seek first the kingdom? Let's just go there. How do I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in my marriage? In any given marriage, there's always some things that you're like, oh, this could be better. I wish he'd change. I wish she'd stop. And, you know, our prayers about our marriages can be weird. God, would you just change her? God, would you just change him? Or, you know, oh, not you? Okay, sorry. Forget I said that, right? We're at the pastoral staff was at a pastor's conference, and there was a seminar on ministry and marriage, and every single one of us attended it. What's that say about your staff? And we were all like, oh, you know, it's so we can help others. And we're like, right? The guy said something powerful to all these men in the room. He was very honoring, especially to our wives, that, yeah, I can't go there right now. How hard is it to be a pastor's wife? But he said, here's a prayer to pray for your marriage. And it's true for pastors, it's true for you. He said, stop praying about the thing that's bugging you or that you two can't get past or can't get over. He said, instead, pray this prayer that God will always answer. You know what the prayer was? God, would you help us to glorify Jesus in our marriage? That's the prayer to pray. Because God always answers that. Because God glorifies the Son all the time. And he wants to see glory brought to his Son all the time. He always says yes to that prayer. But I don't pray that prayer because of fear. But I want my thing. I want her to stop. I want him to stop. I want, you don't understand. It's irrevocable. It's irreconcilable. I didn't even say that word right, but you know what I mean. It's impossible. And he's saying, stop worrying about your agenda and instead make glorifying the Son the top agenda. God says, oh, I'd love to answer that prayer all day long. What if you started doing that? What about single people? Single people. How do you seek first the kingdom of God with your dating? Well, what you don't do is compromise. And I see men, women, high school students in their dating, they start thinking, what's wrong with me? I don't have anybody. I get desperate. I'm afraid I'll be alone my whole life. And so instead of seeking first, I seek whoever I can put my hands on, whether they're following Jesus or not, instead of trusting. Like, what would happen if in my dating, it's like, you know what? I'm gonna seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and I'm gonna trust that God's gonna provide for me emotionally, relationally. He said, and all these things will be added to you. He's saying, I'll supply your need in your dating. If it's true for relationships, it's true with our kids. Some of us are not seeking first the kingdom of God with our children. And I'm not sitting in judgment. I've just been here 20 years and I've watched it. You're seeking first the hobbies. You're seeking first all the extracurriculars. You're seeking first the sports. And you're busy, busy, busy. And then we'll get around to it. And you think, don't worry. I'm a good Christian dad, a good Christian mom. And we're the only spiritual leaders our kids need. That is a lie. That is a lie. You need other voices speaking into your kids' lives. So how do I seek first in raising my children? Well, they need to see a different version of me at home. I need to seek first the kingdom in my parenting, but then in also showing them what our priorities are. Does that make sense? I'm shocked by how many God-fearing Christian families with teenagers. Don't have time to let our student ministry have them for 2 hours a week. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But it's true. If it were not for the Tab Kids programs, the Tab Youth program, and the creative arts team speaking into the lives of my children, and I'm a pastor, I don't know where those little heathens would be. What does it look like to seek first the kingdom? What does it look like to seek first the kingdom when we worship? What if when we came here together, we were to realize that the worship experience on a weekend is not about us? Oh, but I need it to be. I need the temperature. I need the music. I need my favorite talker, my favorite subject. I need to get fed. Do you know that when we gather, it isn't about us? When we gather for worship, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him. You're not buying that? The least that you and I can do for the God of the universe is to give him worship and glory on a weekend. We're here for him. If I get fed, that's part of the all these things will be added to you. If I get the tingle during my favorite song, that's part of the all these things will be added to you. But if it's the worst experience, at least I was here bringing honor and glory to him. You guys don't buy that, do you? It's true. It's true. From beginning to end, what if I was to seek first the kingdom in my worship? God, I'm just here to bring you honor and glory today. God, I am prepared to hear from you today. God, I want to point to you today. What if we were to seek first in our worship? What about in our participation? I've already mentioned that with our kids, but what about you, mom? What about you, dad, right? And what holds us back with our, you know, putting our kids in, or what holds us back from participating in the real work of the church, which, by the way, isn't the weekend. This is the primary part, the gathering for worship. And I'm trying to say this with love in my heart. The real work of Change Lives happens Monday through Saturday. That's where the real work happens. This is like the entry level baseline we can give God. But when I participate, as one of the men in this church, when I participate as one of the women in this church, or as a student, or as a child, when I get involved in one of those ministry programs, that's where the real change lives happen. But why don't we? Well, because we're afraid. Well, you know, my son's got the travel league, and then he's also got the varsity sport, and then we have the National Honor Society, which this is just a way for them to make money and hold a candle up one time a year. But that's, it's really important, looks great on a resume. Your kid's gonna work on a job site as a gopher, right? Maybe not. Not that a job site on a gopher is a bad thing. But we get all distracted and we're afraid that this is gonna take away. Instead of believing God's promise, don't be afraid. When you make him your top priority, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's promised to provide. He'll provide all the time that you need. Why do we have men that don't want to participate and go to the, you know, to the men's thing? Because if I go to the men's thing, somebody might look at me. Or I don't want to go to marriage counseling, even though it might help me. Why doesn't he go? Fear. Fear. There's men in Northern Michigan that will wrestle a bear with their bare hands, gut it with their teeth. But they're afraid to sit in a counselor's, you know, his office. That skinny little man ain't gonna wrestle you. You can make it, little cowboy. You can do it. You ain't gonna die. And if that's, maybe God's calling you to seek first God that way, or maybe to seek first the kingdom of God by looking for help with your addiction. I know that's fearful. But if that's seeking first, he's promised. He's gonna fill in whatever you were trying to fill with, whatever your addiction is. He's promised all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. You tracking? And it's not just the men. When it comes to women participating, you're the worst. No, you're not the worst. but you're just as bad. I don't like other women. How many times have I heard that from women? What do you mean? You've got three daughters. Well, I don't like them either. Right? It's like, come on. That's fear. Someone might judge me. Someone might look better than me or may like make me feel bad or someone might gossip. Yeah, that might happen. But you also, if you were to take a risk and get involved with Tab Women or a fight club or student men or kids, you might make a friend. There's a promise that if we make seeking him the top priority, all these things will be added to you. What about in being a domino, in being intentional about your invitations? I was just talking to a guy last night, and he said to me that God had been impressing on him to be more vocal with his faith and identifying with the church. And he said, I saw the easiest opportunity ever. I was in a parking lot in Traverse City, and I saw a guy that I don't see at church very often, but I've seen him there before, and I think I saw him in a fight club, and I thought about saying hi, but then I just pulled my hat down and walked in the other direction. That sounded like what I do. That's why I wear a hat in Traverse City. You know, I don't want to see anybody. Well, God was convicting him that he needed to be more relational in community and outside of just church. And it bugged him. He said, it bugged me for 2 weeks. And then same parking lot, 2 weeks later, he said, I'm in my work truck and I saw him. And he slammed on the brakes. I'm going to be obedient now. Because that's fear. Fear that I'll be late. Fear that this guy will be the cable guy and then I have a BFF I don't want or whatever. You know? And he stopped and he said, hey, do you go to the tabernacle? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, weren't we in Fight Club together? Yeah. And they had a great convo and they were both blessed by it. And it was super cool. What's your name again? Oh man, that's cool, man. I think I saw you play guitar and I think I saw you do this. And they were just, he made a friend. He drove off and he was telling me all, he was so excited that that happened, that God gave him a second chance to get over his fear, to step out and participate in the community. You know what's weird? On Friday, I golfed with the dude that he stopped. And that dude told me about it too. And he was like, yeah, this guy pulled up and he goes, hey, do you go to the tab? And I'm like, oh, here we go. And he's a really cool guy, man. I really do it. I like that guy. And they were, yeah, we talked. And you know what my friend who was, I was golfing with, the one that got stopped, he goes, I want to be more like that. Dominoes. We seek first and aren't ruled by fear. God's going to provide something we couldn't even imagine. What about in our serving? Tim hit this hard last week when he was talking about putting the cause over ourself. He said, put the cause over yourself. This is just another version of that sermon. In fact, three of the last four have been all in the same thing. Unity, cause over self, and now we're talking about seeking first. They're all related. When you serve, you put the cause over yourself. But some of us, because of fear, we don't want to serve because we don't think we'll have enough time or that they'll ask too much or you won't enjoy it or you can't ever say no. And then what happens is we have more people serving in multiple areas and they're the ones getting burnt out. Church, we have all the people we need to run all the ministries that we have and more. In fact, if everyone contributed and everyone did their part, I'm just speaking truth, no passive aggressive. If everyone did their part and served in all the ministry areas that we have on a weekend or during the week, no one would be overtaxed. No one would be burnt out. You might only get asked to serve every 10 weeks. That's better than the National Guard. But fear keeps us from serving because I might meet somebody. I might, you know, have to spend more than 55 minutes at that place on a weekend and we're missing out. Everybody's busy, but he promised if you'll make him a priority, all the time you need will be added to you. Yeah, but I want to keep my talents for me. If you'll give it away, seek first the kingdom, all the talents that you need will be added unto you. We have big holes in a couple of areas. And I'm going to keep telling you, with Tab Kids, we need more people that will serve with Tab Kids in Manistee and here in Buckley. One of the reasons we suffer for space on a weekend in Buckley is because we don't have a full Tab Kids program on Saturday night. We used to say at this church, we're going to say it again, our challenge to you is to worship 1 hour and serve 1 hour. Serve the early service, go to the second. Serve on Saturday night. Some of you double dip anyways. Why would you want to come in here Saturday and Sunday? I don't even like to hear me talk. Serve on Saturday, come on. We need people to offer Tab Kids on Saturday night. I was watching this lady at one of our campuses. I won't tell you who she is or what campus I was at, because then you're like, who was it? And I'm sitting in the service, and it was right after the music ended and Tim was preaching, and she sat down. She was in church without her husband. I don't know if she was married. She had 3 children. As soon as she sat down, or as soon as the sermon began, one of the kids had to pee. And so she had to take him out, leaving 2 unsupervised heathens on the second row. And then as soon as she came back in and sat down, another one needed a drink. So she dragged one of the heathens and the one she thought she could trust, which she couldn't. And she went out again. She came back in, the one that she had a drink, 5 minutes later, now he needed to pee, and out she went again. And you know what I found myself saying? What are we doing wrong that we can't serve her better? She didn't hear a word Tim said. Credit for coming, trying to make it through a service with 3 kids, but what do we got to do? In Manistee, the first service is packed, the second service isn't, because we're still trying to get all the kids' zones manned for the second service. And you might be sitting there going, but I don't like kids. They don't like you either. They don't have a choice, though. You're bigger. And really what it is it's fear. It's fear. But if we seek first the kingdom, it's not just with that. There's opportunities with our food pantry. There's opportunities with Cadillac. That's vision, Cadillac. And man, I'm just going to go there. I didn't do it in the other services, but I'm going to go there. There's people right now in our church who are from Cadillac or closer to Cadillac than they are to here. And they're excited about Cadillac because they're like, all my friends and neighbors really need Jesus. But I need to continue to go to Buckley. I'm not going to Cadillac, even though it's 5 minutes from my house. Why? It's fear. It's fear. That somehow not being in my aura, live where I can spit on you, is going to be less than. Instead of, this is how I can serve. I'm going to be a part of that core group. And I'm going to make new relationships and new. I'm going to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And you know what? I'm going to trust God that he's going to have something better. That's what I love about Manistee. I love going to Manistee. Because usually what happens is I get ignored by half of them when I'm just there hanging out on a weekend. And then the ones who do recognize me are like, oh, you're that guy, shorter in real life. And then they move on, right? Now, that wasn't meant as a shot. It's how can we serve? Do you know who outserves everyone here? Our students. In the SWERVE program, I know some students who volunteer in 2 and 3 areas. They're not ruled by fear. They're seeking first the kingdom. That's a blessing to me. Last but not least, what would happen if we were to seek first the kingdom with our giving? With our giving. What would that look like in this economy? Now, our church is doing well. Let me just tell you real quick. This is what the New Testament says about our giving. This is not a sermon on giving, but this is what the New Testament says. It says that our giving should be regular, it should be generous, and it should be cheerful. That's what the New Testament teaches. The Old Testament teaches percentages. It teaches somewhere between 10 and 26% of your income is supposed to go to the church. I would love to preach Old Testament giving. That'd be nice. Fire and brimstone if you don't do it. Give me your PIN number. No. The New Testament does say First, it should be regular. Scripture says on the first day of every week. I'm grateful that my wife and I, for our family, we do the direct deposit thing right out of the paycheck. I don't even see it. And that's so I can be cheerful about it. It's supposed to be regular. It's supposed to be regular. It's supposed to be generous. How much is generous? Well, that's between you and God. We do 10% because we're old-timey, old school. It's always worked for us. That's what we do. If 10% is too much for you, try 1%. Try 5%. Pick a percentage. Some people can give more than 10%. Whatever it is between you and God, but it should be regular. It should be generous. Scripture specifically says, in keeping with your income. Not in keeping with your bills. In keeping with your income. And it should be cheerful. Which is why we say, if you cannot give to God at your church with a happy heart, don't do it. Don't. Keep it. Keep it. But what does it look like? Why don't we choose to give regular? Well, what if I won't have enough? Why don't I give generously? It's fear. Have you seen this economy? I got to stockpile. I got to store up. I got to, you know, I got that vacation. I got the thing. And all those things are good. But it's fear that keeps us from being more generous. But Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll take care of you. God will provide. Do you believe that, church? And if it's true for giving, it's true for my time, it's true for serving, it's true for participating, it's true for all the areas where I can seek first. If there's any message I've heard over and over and over for that generation of people at this church that we honor, the silver set, that core group that kept this church open when it was down to less than 20 people, all of them have the same message to me all the time. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. John, make sure you tell them you can't outgive God. These people were alive during the Carter administration and the gas lines. They survived the 80s decade of greed. They went through real estate crashes and stock market crashes. And there's only 20 of us. How are we going to keep the doors open? And it's the same thing with their giving, with their serving, with their talents, with their time. Making God their first priority, they say the same thing to me all the time. You can't outgive God. Why don't we give to God? Our attention, our time, our priority, our talent, our investment. Fear. What does Jesus say? Fear not. Seek first. God will provide. You can't outgive him. He won't take more than he needs because he needs nothing. He's God. So, I wonder, where are you contributing? Any family? Everyone's expected to contribute. Any team, everyone's expected to do their part. I'm not shooting on anyone. This is between you and the Lord. But some of us have to get past our fear and replace it with seeking first and making this more than just a weekend, you know, little checkbox. What if in this next season you adopted this theme, seek first? Seek first. That's a question, and it's a theme. What am I seeking first in this relationship, with this person, with this job, at school, with my time, with my energy, on a weekend, during the week? What am I seeking first? And second, what do I choose to seek first? There's a promise attached to it. There's a promise. So, that's the best I got on vision. And I think it's appropriate that both here and in Manistee this weekend, as we kick off the fall, we're celebrating communion. Jesus had a vision for us. And Jesus, love incarnate, when he went to the cross, full of fear, Jesus experienced fear. God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He knew what was coming. There was fear. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus went to the cross, he sought first God's kingdom. And as a result, his righteousness was added to you and to me. You see how that works? Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for us both here and in Manistee, and then in a moment we will celebrate communion together. God, would you help us to know we're to not be ruled by the cares, anxieties, worries, and fears of this life. And as we go into this next season, would you show us clearly where you want us to seek first your kingdom, personally, relationally, with our time, with our resources. God, thank you for your promise that you will provide for us no matter what. God, thank you for your son and his sacrifice on the cross, that he put the cause over himself. And as a result, he is the cause for whom we live. You're deserving and worthy of everything we have. Give us the wisdom to know what's next, and give us the courage to say yes. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.